kicking you on.
Blog Talk Radio.
I was saying that to Curtis.
Fellow Americans, it is with the utmost pride and sincerity that I present this recording as a living testament and recollection of history in the making during our generation.
Allow me to reintroduce myself.
My name is Dr. Drake.
Yeah. Yeah.
Robert Ford.
Okay, we get it. Start the show.
Yes, party time, people.
I got you, Garrett.
Talking sports with a 12th man. Yeah, you're right.
Yep. Everybody is here. We are officially on our second show for the year 2020, talking sports with the 12th man. You know the signature. We are ready to get this party started as always. Before we do so, we got to introduce the fellas and again set the stage for another awesome night, if you will. So, again, Wednesday, January the 8th, I think everyone is settled. There's been a lot of movement on the coaching front, a lot of things happening, so we're ready to dive into all that tonight. But before we do so, let's check in with the fellas. Mr. JQ, just getting in. I love it, bro. Hope you're doing good, man. Welcome aboard. You made it right in time, man. How you doing, Steven?
Oh, man, I can't complain. I'm doing good, you know, running around with these girls and living life. How you doing, bro?
Doing good, man. And a little Zoo wanted me to say what's up to you. And try to keep you in check, which I was like, yeah, that's virtually impossible, man. So anyway, just shout out to him, man. To you, man. He's good. So JQ, I said, what's up? Try to keep him in check. And I was like, yeah. So there you go.
When did you talk to Zoo?
Zoo, he obviously hit me up for my birthday, so we're going back and forth on some things, man. So
okay.
It was just cool to hear from him too. So yeah. So I was like, don't forget little people. I see what you're doing. So yeah, we go back.
I know, right? Yes, sir.
One day, Zoo, hit us up. Follow to the show. again, shout out to Rob Ford. T-Rob, you actually were on time. I give you credit. I was just trying to click you on. I was just talking to Gary about that for some reason.
I was early, on time.
You were early, and I was talking to Gary. I was like, bro, what's this number? So I didn't hear anything, so I was trying to click to it. So didn't know if that was him. But, yeah, there you go. You get your one. One out of 20.
Yeah, he was early,
but,
all right.
Welcome aboard.
Five seconds early.
No, I was more than 5 minutes early. I was ready for y'all clowns tonight.
He actually.
But you know he got about 8 different cell phone numbers.
Huh?
He got 8 different cell phones.
That is true. I don't know
what number
it was.
I just have 2 cell phones. That's
he got like 5 cell phones.
Like,
thank you.
I told you.
Oh, nice move.
Bruh,
2 cell phones.
Oh,
what a player.
No, one is a personal phone, one is a work phone. That's all.
Oh, yeah.
You got like 2 cell phones.
Oh, yeah, work phone.
That's it.
Gotcha. Code word, work phone.
Right.
That's
oh,
it.
Phone.
That is it. That's not established any lies.
Are you doing okay is the question.
I'm doing great. I'm in the, LSU and Arkansas is in a dog fight right now. LSU is up by 1 point with 32.3 seconds to go. So I'm kind of a little intense into this game, but doing good. Hopefully LSU can pull it out here.
Yeah. All right, anyway. So, I know for real. Right? All right.
Now we're up by 2.
Anyway.
I know Georgia Tech was in a dog fight too.
Yeah, we're still down 64. So it's all good, man. So we'll keep this going, man. So anyway, let's before we get too crazy here, we got a lot to discuss. Let's throw out the numbers for the show. And again, cannot wait for Courage to show up. I know Gary says he's going to be showing up fashionably late, which is fantastic. But again, we'll take that. But again, let's throw the numbers out. If you want to call into the show, the number to always call into, it's always 424-243-9519. Again, 424-243-9519. That's the number to call into your boys. on the show, check in with us. Follow us on the Twitter, which is at the number 12, THMAN Sports. And then last but not least, go to Facebook.com/TalkingSports for 12th Man or 12th Man Sports. If you type it in, you will find us at your pleasure. So, gentlemen, let's kick it off. I don't know if this was actually surprising or kind of on the forefront. Last we were talking about Jason Garrett and how he didn't get his contract renewed. And the next thing you know, you have Mike McCarthy being signed as the Cowboys coach, much to the chagrin of JQ. He thought Marvin Lewis was going to get that. No, I'm joking. But much to to the surprise of America, because we were talking about Lincoln Riley could have been the guy. And apparently Mike McCarthy came out of left field. And how do you like that, Gary, if you – I'm not sure if Curtis is on. How do you like that move? And, again, bringing back the old Mike Nolan to be the defensive coordinator. You talk about craziness. But, yeah, what are your thoughts about the whole move and what happened over the last couple of days here?
Well, definitely a surprise. You know, I had picked, some of these college guys to come up, Lincoln Riley or Myers or something. Urban Myers, I did not see this at all happening. But pleasantly surprised. And I was reading an article on this whole thing. Jason, they kept Jason Garrett. They even asked Jason Garrett what he thought about. They told him that they were going to interview him, and they asked Jason Garrett what he thought about that. And he said that he thought that that was a great move, that he felt like he was a great coach.
Wow.
Yeah. So I was surprised at that. You know, the Garrett family has been with the organization for all but 2 years with the Jones family, from Jason Garrett's father, his brothers, Jason as a player, Jason as a coach. So they've been with the family for a long time. So I know it was a very difficult decision to go with someone else. So then to go with someone else, you know, I'm glad that it worked out that way, where they allowed him, you know, to go out with dignity, I guess, a little bit anyway. It is kind of tough to see a coach that they think so much of go. But with that said, I think that McCarthy's a great coach. I think he'll do well for the boys. Are you guys with me?
We're still with you.
We're
still with you. Have your moment.
Okay.
Have your moment.
All right. You know, so with that said, I think one thing that struck me in this article was that Jerry Jones says, look less at what Jason Garrett did or didn't do, and look more at what I did or didn't do. So that's the first time I've ever heard Jerry Jones take ownership of some of the issues and problems that they've had with any significance. And so I thought that was – maybe that's a start of him meddling less. But I think McCarthy's a good move. He's bringing in his own people. He did retain the offensive – Kellen Moore from – as his offensive coordinator, but McCarthy, he was the play caller in Green Bay, and I think he'll probably continue that in Dallas and take that away from the offensive coordinator. But I think it's a good move. What's your guys' take on that?
You know, I actually think it's a solid move as well for the Cowboys. I mean, I don't know if you're going to find too many coaches out there that would have been a better option, in my opinion. You could have gotten someone with a little bit more flair. It's a Lincoln Riley, but Lincoln Riley still will be a question mark in the NFL. He's still not proven to have any kind of success on that level yet. And Mike McCarthy has at least shown some success on the NFL, being a Super Bowl head coach. And I don't think Mike McCarthy has gotten enough credit for the development of Aaron Rodgers as well. And if you recall, you know, he was the head coach when they moved Aaron Rodgers to be a starter after they moved on from Brett Favre. And I think in Mike McCarthy's background as a quarterback's coach, and I don't know how many of you all remember Rich Gannon when he played in the NFL. Rich Gannon, when he was with the Chiefs, Mike McCarthy was his quarterback coach. And he says he's never had a quarterback coach that was more detailed than Mike McCarthy. And and some of you, Aaron Brooks, I wouldn't necessarily say he was a great quarterback, but he was an average quarterback. And I think Mike McCarthy had a lot to do with his development too as well. So I think overall it's a solid hiring. I'm not convinced that Urban Meyer can be successful with the NFL. I do think Lincoln Riley can be successful in the NFL. I'm not convinced that Urban Meyer can be. And so I think McCarthy was probably one of your better options out there. Not saying they're going to win the Super Bowl, not saying they're going to be this or that, but I just don't think there were too many coaches out there that would give you more success than what McCarthy can. So I'm really intrigued to see if he can take Dak Prescott's game to the next level, you know, based on his history with quarterbacks. So that's one thing that's going to be really intriguing to me. And you're right, Gary. He called the plays with the Packers, and it looks like he's going to retain Kellen Moore as offensive coordinator. So I'm going to be real intrigued. Is he going to take over the play calling, or is he going to let Kellen Moore still do it? But based on his track record with the Packers, he actually called the plays. My guess is he would probably want to take that over. And he just hired Mike Nolan away from the Saints. Mike Nolan was a linebackers coach for the Saints for the last 3 years, so he's going to take over the defense from a defensive coordinator standpoint. So you're bringing in a guy that has some experience, who's been a head coach in the NFL too. So it looked like he's going to have a very experienced staff. But I think the thing that I'll be most intrigued about is what kind of success is he going to have with Dak Prescott?
Yeah, and I think it's solid, but like I told you guys on the text message, I think it's unimaginative, and I wonder if it's going to come back to the bottom. Because, I mean, when you're the Dallas Cowboys and you have basically you're picking the litter as one of the cornerstone franchises, and we can talk about the Giants later, you know, with Joe Judge and the same vein, is that I feel like they could have done a little bit more. I think I would have gambled a little bit just to see if you could bring some of that enthusiasm back. And you talk about, you know, Lincoln Riley and Urban Meyer, yes, they haven't done it at the NFL level, but I think Dallas also needs a culture change. And I think Urban Meyer especially would have been able to bring about a culture change. He's very detail-oriented, and, yeah, he's going to have some, you know, pushback with some of the veterans and how he wants to approach some things. But from a culture standpoint and accountability standpoint, I think he might have been maybe a little bit better. But, I mean, McCarthy's, you know, resume speaks for itself. He's a Super Bowl champion. And you could say he rode Aaron Rodgers on a hot streak. They came in as the wild card in that year they won it and took it all the way to a Super Bowl over the Pittsburgh Steelers, which I will always love them for being Pittsburgh for sure. But, you know, he's got a chance to distinguish himself and saying that I can be a better, I'm not just a product of Aaron Rodgers. I am Mike McCarthy. So and I think that's going to, you know, it's going to be interesting to see. If I'm him and trying to institute that culture change, I don't know if he should call the plays. I think he should be more, you know, focused on the team as a whole and changing that culture, keeping people accountable during the sidelines, during the game, through the week, and not have to worry so much about the game plan. And, of course, he's an offensive-minded coach. So he's going to have some say in that. So he's not going to let Kellen Moore have carte blanche with the offense. But I would like for him to take a step back and be more of a CEO and try to change that culture in Dallas and let Kellen Moore be the OC, let Mike Nolan be the DC, and, you know, basically like, okay, I'm going to put my hands where I need to put them in there, but I need to focus on this organization as a whole to change this culture because they were soft and they didn't get up for games they should have gotten up for. So, you know, he's got a ton of pressure on him. We'll see how that works out. I think his offensive background helps Dak Prescott if Dak is willing to buy into it. So we just have to see. Only time will tell. But they could have done worse. I think they could have potentially done better. The risk would have been higher. But to me, it's a C plus, B minus kind of higher. It's solid, but it's not spectacular.
That's a good call. Do you ever get Curtis back on yet or no, Gary?
What's that? Say that again.
Oh, I said, Curtis ever pop on yet or no?
Yeah, he's just getting his headset wired in. He'll be on in just a brief second.
Okay.
You know, so with him bringing in his own staff and Garrett and Jerry Jones seem to be willing to admit fault, I think this is a really, really positive move for this organization. Because the biggest thing has been the, you know, as great as Jerry Jones is as a pro sport owner, and what he's done with this franchise is here we are in the middle of these, you know, playoffs for the NFL, and you get on the NFL channel, ESPN, and what are they talking about? They're talking about the Cowboys. So he's a marketing genius. You know, if he pulls himself away, and a strong coach like this, you know, that's a good move for him to have a strong coach like that. If he had a coach that came in from college, and I don't care who it was, there's still, you know, at the beginning of everything, there's still, deer in the headlights, so to speak. So with that said, you know, right? So he could have kind of molded them into his way of thinking. Well, this guy comes in with pedigree and has already established himself as a winning NFL coach and a Super Bowl coach. So I think with his strong personality, I think it's going to be a really good, really good move for the Cowboys. I'm very pleased with it. I didn't even consider that when we were talking about that. I don't think anybody did. I didn't hear anything on any podcasts I listened to or any of these sports commentators. I didn't hear anybody talk about McCarthy on there. Did you guys?
Mm-mm.
Well, we knew Mike McCarthy wanted to take 1 year off from football, and so we knew he was going to be back in the game soon. Initially, we didn't hear with the Cowboys, but we did hear other organizations that wanted to talk to him. I know there were some rumors about the Browns wanted to talk to him.
Okay,
there were some rumors about Carolina wanted to talk to him as well. So, I mean, there was talk about him with other clubs, but we didn't really hear him connected with the Cowboys until maybe the end of last week.
That was a surprise.
Yeah. And we do have Curtis on the line now.
I hear him.
Yeah, well,
we're talking about the boys.
As long as Jerry's happy, that's all that matters. And I hope this guy he hired can tell Jerry what I would do. Jerry, I don't mind you doing the after-game press conferences. Other than that, stay away from me. And let me get this team ready to win some games. What I heard today with other sportscasters, the main determinant for this guy to be hired, out of the 10 times they played with him coaching the Green Bay Packers, they won 7 times. And Jerry always felt that he had a better team in all 10 of those games. So this was the common denominator to get this guy to do better than what they've been doing.
Here's the one thing I will say. I know, Gary, you made the point about Jerry Jones not meddling. That I'm not convinced of. And,
I'm not either.
It's just like how some people every year, the New Year's resolution, you know, oh, I'm going to lose weight. First of the year, I'm going to hit that gym. Come February, they're back doing the same thing they were doing last year. And, they stopped going to the gym. They start eating bad again. To me, it just sounds like one of those New Year's resolutions, oh, I'm not going to meddle this year. And maybe February, Jerry Jones is going to be right back doing the same thing he's been doing in the past. And so I'm definitely not convinced of that. But I think it's a solid hire, but I'm definitely not convinced of Jerry Jones not meddling in the organization and the player personnel decisions. I think Mike McCarthy will have some say, but you best believe Jerry Jones is still going to be involved in that process.
Absolutely.
Well, my point is I just don't want him on the field. I don't want him... on the sidelines. All that stuff is fine. And I think this guy's got to be a little bit of a con man and a guy that convinced Jerry, let me do my thing, and you stay on the perimeters. And we'll do the personnel together, and we'll do the other stuff together. But, you know, I'm going to get in your team's butt, and I don't want your team, your family to be crying to you that I'm too mean or I'm right.
Well, see, and, that, and I'm going to piggyback on what Curtis said. Okay, so I said meddling less. He's always going to meddle. And as far as player personnel, I'm fine with it because the Cowboys as an organization has done a very good job with their player personnel, drafting, bringing in people, whatever. So I'm fine with that. What I don't want is exactly what Curtis was talking about. You know, you get a coach that says one thing, and then a player says, you know, I don't want to do that. I'm going to go talk to Jerry. You know, that's the meddling that I don't like.
And that's how we've got echo, guys, too. So just real quick, we still have like an echo. I don't know if that's the headset, so just keep that in mind on this one side or whatever, too. So CPI, just a little FYI, too. We're trying to concentrate pretty intently on what you guys are saying, too. So just a little FYI as well. But yeah, I think the biggest thing that we are definitely going to try to figure out from that is I think everyone was talking about the shock of everything for sure, man. So we'll keep that moving. It's all good. There it is. All right. Cool. All right. But like you said, I'm kind of curious to figure out what Rob said that, you know, kind of once you've been doing that, you're always going to eventually turn back to those habits too. So I know that you know, everything looks good from the circumstance, and Mike McCarthy is kind of definitely, he's been in the league. He's eager to get back and kind of prove that he's the dude. So, yeah, we'll see how that plays out. Gentlemen, we got to talk about the other games here. We do got to jump into this. Shout out to Shenard, who my bro is calling from or listening from Utah, too, as well. I know I hate to hear that he's another Cowboy fan, too, but, you know, we'll talk about him. Hopefully he'll chime in one time as well because it's a pretty exciting week. But let's talk about some predictions here. Kicking this off. What a great weekend starting off. And we got to kick this off again. We got the Vikings at the 49ers. And we were kind of talking to Rob because apparently, you know, the Saints need to just blow teams out. But he was pretty cordial and said that the Vikings pretty much dominated them inside the trenches the whole game. But, you know, again, what say you whenever they go up against the 49ers, Rob? Is this a I know the situation where the 49ers are arrested. Are they ready to handle what the Vikings are going to put now for them?
Well, I think the 49ers are going to be able to match them in the trenches. And, obviously having, you know, some good film to be able to watch them and things of that nature. I definitely like the 49ers in this game, and I think they'll win by at least 10 points in this one. And so I'm going to go somewhere around 30 to 20. In this football game in favor of the 49ers at home. And I think the defensive line will be able to, I think the 49ers defensive line will be able to put a little bit more pressure on Kirk Cousins, which the Saints weren't able to do, unfortunately, this past week. And so I look for them to get him off his game a little bit here. And I just think they'll be able to match up with him a little bit better here in the trenches and come out on top. So I think the Vikings run will end this coming Sunday. And I think they'll be able to slow down Delvin Cook. You know, the Saints, I think with Delvin Cook at 86 yards at halftime, the Saints didn't slow him down until the second half. He only had 8 yards in the second half, but it was a little too late. And I think the 49ers will be ready and prepare for that.
Yeah, and from the Vikings standpoint, this is two quarterbacks that I really don't trust. But I saw that Adam Thielen, I think, tweaked his ankle again. In practice, and if that slows him down, because Adam Thielen was a man against the Saints and against my homeboy Marshawn Lattimore, he actually had some really big catches against that secondary in New Orleans. So if he slowed down by ankle in any stretch, and Stephon Diggs is fighting some kind of illness, if those two guys aren't 100%, that's going to put the Vikings at a deficit going across the country to go play San Francisco. I worry that San Francisco, though, comes out a little rusty. I don't think Jimmy G is, you know, if we talk about it, he's not a seasoned vet. You know, everybody wants to talk about him like he's been around for so long, but he's only played, you know, really, what, about 17, 20 games now at this point as a starter with all the expectations. Now you're the number one seed, getting the Vikings coming off an upset, coming to your home, to your stadium. So I think that game starts off a little slower for San Francisco, but I think they find a way with that run game and then they found a way to get Deebo Samuel, Emmanuel Sanders, and George Kittle going in the passing game. So I agree with you, Rob. I think San Francisco, it starts off slow, but I think they find a way to expand that league as it moves into the second half and they win.
Well, I think you hit the nail on the head when you said how many starts Jimmy G has. And, you know, this is the big time for Jimmy G. He hasn't been here before. Well, he's been here with Tom Brady, but he hasn't been here where he's the guy that's had to put it up or shut up. So what we're going to see is if he's that guy. And that's going to be interesting. And that's what I'm looking forward to for this game. I'm also looking into going. I got a lot of family down there. I've been looking at the tickets. It's not nowhere as cheap as it would have been going to Houston. But I can still handle that. And so if I get lucky, I'll be there. And see that. But you know, one of the things I think, and I don't think the Vikings can do, if they had one of those rushes like Tampa Bay had when they had that team that won that Super Bowl to put on Jimmy G, they would lose, I would think. But I don't think the Vikings have that kind of defense that can put that kind of pressure on Jimmy G. And that's going to be the difference. And I think San Francisco is going to win. I'm going to say by 6.
Nice. All right. Shout out to Mike Zimmer too for JQ as well. But again, they're making moves, and you know, we'll see how that plays out. It seems like everyone maybe leans towards the 49ers here. So I know my West Coast family is happy. Let's talk about another interesting matchup here. We got Lamar Jackson. We got Baltimore coming in. The Titans going into Baltimore playing Lamar Jackson. This is an interesting game. The Titans, man, doing what slaying the giant that is the New England Patriots. And Derrick Henry just, man, putting it to him. Man, you talk about a very physical game. Mike Vrabel doing the thing against the teacher, if you will. So you talk about a pretty excellent game. But now it shifts. If you are Tennessee, can you hope to contain Lamar Jackson is the question. And then if you're the Ravens, can you stop Derrick Henry? So I'll let you start off with that, JQ, and then Rob, and then we'll go around the room again. So go ahead with that.
Yeah, and what I'm really interested to see is what's going on with Mark Ingram's calf because he was back to practice, and then they had to back off and say he was experiencing tightness in that calf. And as great as Lamar Jackson has been, he's been fantastic. He's also been aided by a really good run game headed by Mark Ingram. So I don't know how much that will slow them down. That Tennessee defense is actually pretty good as well. But listen, it's Ryan Tannehill, I believe, threw for like 82 yards and a pick in that win at New England. I don't think that happens at Baltimore. Like, I just don't think he can do that 2 games in a row. And I feel like Baltimore can put more pressure on Tennessee than New England could because they just don't have that ability. Tom Brady, at 48 years old, doesn't have the ability to make a play when there's no play to be had from a passing game where Lamar Jackson can. And I think that's the difference in this game. I really do. I think it's Lamar Jackson. I think he's going to be your MVP. I don't know if he can dominate all throughout the playoffs, but I think, you know, Tennessee might still also be, you know, hearing the kudos and feeling good about themselves and not be able to get themselves ready again for another big matchup in Baltimore.
Fair,
so I'm going to go with Lamar Jackson in Baltimore. I think it's a close game. I think it's one of those ugly run in the trenches, defensive run kind of games. But I think Lamar Jackson, his ability to make a play where a play doesn't seem available, keeps drives alive, and they are able to pull out the win against Tennessee.
Yeah, I agree. My prediction is very similar to JQ's. I think it's going to be a closer football game than a lot of people expect. But I think in the end, Baltimore wins it. I'm going to go somewhere around 27-20. I think they win by a touchdown. That Derrick Henry is a load. Man, nobody seems to want to tackle that, too. I mean, what, he's 6'3", 240 pounds, and he's running straight at you. And, he is a load to handle. But I think in the end, I think the combination – of Baltimore's defense, Lamar Jackson, and as JQ mentioned, Ryan Tannehill not being, reliable. I mean, 82 yards. I mean, you and I could have come out, any one of us could have went out there and did that with a bunch of screen passes. And
right.
And so, I mean, come on. So I just think the quarterback difference in this game in Baltimore's defense and their home crowd, I think it's going to be a little too much. But I like Tennessee to keep this game close for about three quarters, and Baltimore just somehow finds a way to win in the fourth quarter. But we do have to realize Tennessee has been really competitive here in the last 10 games of the season. So I do think they keep this game competitive but come up short in the end.
And I think you're spot on. I think that I think it is going to be the mobility that's going to lead them in that fourth quarter when the defenses are tired and, you know, this sort of thing. But, you know, that Henry, he's a beast. He'll keep them close, but I don't think it's going to be nearly enough.
So both teams are going to try to do the same thing. And now this is going to come to coaching. Because with these two running games, you can control the clock and you can control the tempo. So this is going to be a chess match, and it may come to who has that ball last. Because if you can eat up 8 and 9 minutes a quarter, Baltimore has a better defense. But Gabriel and Phil, I would think they would be ready. So they got a plan, and they have to get that guy off the three and out. The defense that can be the most three and out is going to win this game.
Yeah, I think you definitely nailed it. As far as it's going to be a tight game, it's definitely going to be a lot closer than everyone is thinking. But, you know, just because of the way the physical styles of the teams that are going to be playing, too. So, very interesting game, to say the least, here. So, let's switch it and to a game I think is going to be totally opposite. I think it's going to be a little more open. We got two dynamic game quarterbacks here. We got Deshaun Watson and we got Patrick Mahomes. Fan of both of these guys. And just, again, the heart goes out to the Bills, man. I mean, you talk about an up-and-down game. The fact that they Josh Allen gets sacked and did some crazy stuff, and they still have the option to come back. But you talk about another great play by Deshaun Watson. It was just a great game. And then, you almost felt like that the miracle happened again, too. But now we got, again, KC's well rested and a very explosive offense. And now you wonder if Deshaun Watson has enough weapons now, because I don't know if Will Fuller's going to be playing. And can they keep up with an offense as explosive as the Chiefs? So go ahead with that, Rob, JQ, and West Coast as well.
Yeah, I like the Chiefs in this game, and here's the reason. The Texans, to me, has been a very inconsistent football team. They look great. 1 week, look like they can beat anybody in the league. And the next week, you know, it looked like they can lose to the Dolphins or the Cincinnati Bengals. And
they lost to the Broncos.
Oh, no.
Yeah, and they lost to the Broncos. You're right. And so, to me, they're just a team that I don't trust. I mean, I predicted them to beat the Bills last week. It sucks. And they just barely did that. I just trust the Chiefs more right now. And I think the Chiefs here, if you look at the last 5 to 6 weeks, they're really an ascending football team on both sides of the football, too. I mean, they've gotten better defensively. They've gotten better offensively with Mahomes coming back from the injury. They get more in sync as well. So, to me, they're a team that I just trust more. The offensive line is playing really good right now. And as I mentioned, their defense is playing good. They're getting pressure on the quarterback. Tyrann Mathieu, LSU, St. Augustine, Purple Knight, you know, made first-team All-Pro. Had a big-time season. And that defense just really has come on here of late. So I like them to win this game, and I'm going to go 30-17 Chiefs in this game. Out of the three games we talked about, I think I'm more convinced about the Chiefs than out of the first three games we're talking about here.
I think it's going to be closer than that. I agree with you, Dre. I think this is going to be an absolute opposite of what we just talked about. It's going to be a shootout. I think Tyrann Mathieu has really done a really good job of solidifying that secondary for the Kansas City Chiefs. And you can see the proof is in the pudding, where you just don't run up and put all kind of crazy points on the Chiefs. With that being said, Deshaun Watson is, you know, that play against the Bills where he avoids the sack and makes that play just unbelievable. And I feel like he's going to have those kind of plays, but I will bank money on him making those kind of plays because he just seems to be cut from that cloth of a guy that's going to be able to make those plays, and we've seen him do it. But I agree from top to bottom as a team, that Texas defense, that Texas a team as a whole, rather, and the defense especially, is if you can keep J.J. Watt out to backfield, then you have a chance to hold on to the ball a little bit. If you let Patrick Mahomes hold on to that ball and let Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce and Sammy Watkins and those guys, you know, get free for an extra second, they're going to kill you. And I just feel like, you know, they're extending, like you said, Rob. I'm going to go with Kansas City. I think it's a little closer. I can see it being a 31-27 game with Kansas City winning. I think it's going to be really fun aesthetically to see from a fan standpoint. But, yeah, I'm going to go with Kansas City and Patrick Mahomes.
Well, I think this one's going to be a shootout as well. You know, both quarterbacks are mobile. Both quarterbacks have proven that they can get the job done, and they're both doing their thing. I'm looking forward to watching this game. I think of all of them, I think this is going to be the one to watch because the others, you know, with the ground and pound and all that stuff, those are going to be struggles, and they're going to be fun to watch. It's NFL, but this one's going to be a shootout, and these are two quarterbacks, and they're special, and they can make some stuff happen. But I am going with KC in it.
Yeah, I'm gonna regress a little bit, and I'm gonna say what I did appreciate from last week's playoff game. I did watch some defensive football. And I am a big appreciator of defensive football. So Kansas City and their coach, I think they're focused in. Kansas City looks like a team that's focused in on Super Bowl or bust. I think they are locked in and looking at a Super Bowl. And the one thing that the Texans have been doing for me almost ever since they got in the league, they've had teams that have looked so fantastic. I'm talking about the Arian Foster days and those days where they looked like they could get out of that AFC. And they always come up short. They always don't get it done. And they're running into a buzzsaw this week in Kansas City. That whole city, that whole region is Super Bowl or bust. Deshaun Watson is going to have a lot more miracles for them to even keep it close. Because these guys will probably do a 28-point third quarter on these guys. And that's the ball game.
Yep, we like it. 22 minutes here in the show, and not that there's no love for the last game, but just really quickly, Seattle at Green Bay, Seattle doing their thing, obviously, and I don't really know what else to say about this one because love Russell Wilson, obviously. And you got to Aaron Rodgers, so we'll see what JQ says about the quarterback play here. We'll hopefully be quick because I definitely want to talk about the dynasty and the Patriots going down. I know Curtis is excited about that, and I want to talk about the hires of the Giants and as well as Matt Rhule, or who was a disciple of Tom Coughlin. So, you know, if you're 5 minutes late to Panthers, you may be in trouble. But we'll talk about that too. So go ahead real quick, JQ, and we'll get started with that as well.
And I was going to say, I mean, is it lining up? Even before I heard Colin Cowherd the other day, I thought that as soon as the Saints went down, I'm like, can this not be lining up any better for the Green Bay Packers right now? You're sitting there, you're getting a beat-up Seattle team, and we know we all love Marshawn Lynch, but he's a year older. He doesn't have that burst right now. The offensive line play isn't great. They struggled with McCown in that game. I mean, it was a 17-9 game. And now you're going to ask them to go to Green Bay and beat Aaron Rodgers. I mean, it's just setting up so nicely for Green Bay. And if we're wrong about San Francisco and Minnesota, Green Bay is going to host the NFC Championship game against a team they've already beat twice. And I know it's hard to beat a team three straight times, but those two teams know each other. And they know what they can do to rattle Kirk Cousins. I just look at it if Green Bay, if not now, then when? Because it's set up so perfectly for you as a two seed, given everything that else has happened in the NFC. So I'm going to go with Aaron Rodgers. I'm trying to get that second chip with the way it's set up for him in the NFC right now. And I think Green Bay finds a way to win. I just don't think Seattle has the dogs on defense like they normally do to slow down Aaron Rodgers, especially at Lambeau.
Yeah, this one's a really tough one to me. I'll be honest with you. I'm not totally impressed with Green Bay this year. I know they've been winning football games, but to me, I'm still not totally sold on them as a football team. And I'm not totally sold on Seattle either. So this one has been really a tough one for me to really analyze and kind of put together here. But this is the one road team that I'm going to pick this weekend. I'm picking Seattle to pull off the upset on the road this weekend. I'm going to go 26-23 in a real tight football game. I'm going to go with Russell Wilson controlling the football, making smart plays, using his feet, using his arm. And like I said, I haven't been really overly impressed with Aaron Rodgers this season. I know they've been winning football games, and they got an elite pass rusher. But I'm going to go with Seattle. This would be the one game I'm predicting the road team to go on the road and win. Like I said, I'm not really sold on either one of these teams, but I'm going to go with Seattle in this football game. I'm going to go with Jadeveon Clowney and that secondary and those group of linebackers that Seattle has. I'm going to give them the opportunity. I'm going to predict that they're going to go on the road and find a way to win this weekend.
Nice. You know, I'm picking Seattle as well, and I don't want to because I hate Seattle. I heard it hates New England.
Wow.
Yeah. And they're not the cheaters that New England is, but that's for another topic. But I am going with Seattle because they've really done well on the road this year. So I'm picking Seattle in a close one.
Well, I think both teams, Marshawn Lynch gives this team toughness and rah-rah and mean, let's get it done. And they're planning to run Marshawn 25 to 30 times. And I think Green Bay is going to try to have their back, try to do the same thing. And if they abandon that, they may be in some trouble. Pete Carroll against Matt LaFleur. And you got Marshawn, and you got the quarterback that Seattle got. They might outcoach and outthink this Green Bay team. They really might. And like I said, they had a road year that was remarkable. This would just solidify their legacy to go in the Lambeau Field and get that done. And here we go. I'm picking Seattle to come from behind in the last 2 minutes to win it by a field goal.
All right.
I tell you what, though, I don't know if giving the ball to Marshawn Lynch 25 or 30 times would be the answer, though. And, I mean, I think they better mix it up with the backs that they have. I mean, the guy just came off the street a couple of weeks ago. So I'm not sure I want to give him the ball 25 to 30 times. But I think the answer is going to have to be to mix it up with the backs that they have. And it's going to have to be a lot of Russell Wilson using his feet and his arm is what I'm thinking they're going to have to do to be successful to win this football game. And, you know, Seattle, you know, JQ mentioned it, they really struggled with McCown this weekend too. I mean, McCown was missing some wide open throws in that football game. And you have to wonder if they were going to be able to pull that one out if Carson Wentz would have stayed healthy. And but that being said, I mean, I'm not really convinced that either one of these teams are that great of a football team, Seattle or Green Bay.
Great.
But I just think that Russell Wilson might be able to. I might just – I'm just thinking Russell Wilson might be able to do a little bit more to pull this one out. And if that's the case, we might see a Seattle-San Fran 3 match.
Wow.
If I had to pick a road team, I would pick the Vikings over the 49ers. If I had to pick a road team, I would. Because I just don't trust Jimmy G. But I hear you. I struggle with picking all home teams. But if I had to pick a road team, yours is Seattle. Mine would be Minnesota.
Yeah. Minnesota's got a talented roster. I mean, they really do.
Yeah.
If they're healthy. With those wide receivers and Dalvin Cook, Rudolph, and the defensive ends that they have a talented roster. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, if Minnesota and Seattle win, that means Seattle will host the NFC championship game. So
yeah, that'll be crazy
as
a 5 seed if that happens.
That would be stupid.
Yeah.
That would be good for us.
Minutes here. Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Good.
Yeah. Very much so.
Let's keep us moving here because we do want to talk about a couple of moves here. We talk about the shock of the Patriots going down, and then you talk about should Tom Brady retire, and I guess is the dynasty over for the Patriots? And I guess I'll give it to the person that loves the Patriots the most, which is Curtis. What are your thoughts about this and Tom Brady? Because he's like saying it ain't over because you don't want your last pass to be a pick six, if you will. So, you know, is it over? Is it over? And
Tom Brady's not done. And the Patriots probably aren't done. They're still the gold standard in the AFC. If you're going to go anywhere in the AFC, you got to beat the New England Patriots. And that's been going on for 20 years. It's something else.
Almost 20
it's
years,
terrible.
Right?
But he's coming back. The question is he coming back to be a Patriot? Or is
right.
he going to sell tickets down in L.A. Charger land? Bring them in that new stadium.
Wait, here's my take on it.
Go ahead.
Do I think Tom Brady should retire? I actually think he should. And, when you look at the way, to me, I look at a trend, and if you really look at the way he's played in the last 8 games, it just hasn't been that impressive. And I know he says he's still got a lot to prove. I mean, he's won 6 Super Bowl titles. And he has every right to come back and play if he so chooses. And I think if he does come back, he will be with New England. I don't think he's going anywhere else. I think the Patriots, I think the owner wants him to come back to the Patriots or retire. So I think they're going to do everything they can to keep him if he comes back. But I personally think he should go ahead and retire and go ahead and exit. I know you probably don't want to go out with the last pass being the INT or pick 6, but I think it's time. At his age, I really do. I think it's time. Whether he comes back or not, I don't think the Patriot dynasty is over. I really don't. As long as Bill Belichick is the head coach of that organization, he's going to be able to find ways for that team to be successful. I don't think this was a great Patriots team, but they still found a way to go 12-4. And so I really don't think – and then when you look at the weapons that they have, they don't really have any true weapons on the perimeter. And so I really don't think – that the dynasty is over in New England, whether Tom Brady comes back or not. I think they could still find a way to be really successful.
Agreed, because if you think about it in terms of the AFC, there's only really maybe one team, I hate to say it, but it's probably the Steelers if you get Big Ben back to playing the way he's capable of playing, where they still have some dynamic receivers on the outside that actually showed up a little bit with second and third string quarterbacks. That's the only other team that you say, look at that AFC light, that who can rise up from a team that didn't make the playoffs this year to make it. Nobody's really believing in Cleveland, Baker Mayfield right now. They still don't even have a coach. And I just feel like everybody else is still going to be the team that they're going to be. Maybe Indianapolis, maybe if Brissett, takes a step forward, but he didn't look that great down the stretch at all either, going off the 8-game sample that Roger talked about for Tom Brady. If you're going to bring Tom Brady back, and I agree, Bill Belichick is a GOAT. He's a cheating-ass GOAT, but he's a GOAT. And they're going to have a say in everything that happens in the AFC. But you got to get them some weapons. Those wide receivers, and we can talk about Joe Judge in a minute, but those wide receivers were just awful. They couldn't get separation. He's trying to throw in some of the tightest windows you're asking a quarterback to throw into because they aren't getting any separation. Sanu has never been a burner. Edelman has always been a slot guy. You ask him to play outside, and that's not who he is. So they have to find a way to get Harry playing better next year as a rookie going into his sophomore year. And they got to find a way either to strike gold in the draft or through free agency to get them a wide receiver that can get separation and be a playmaker. And because once you have that guy, that you have to put a safety over top to it, opens it up for everybody else. They don't have that guy right now. So for me, I'm not going to count them out quite yet, but they have to make some personnel moves on the offensive side of the ball, mainly in the tight end and wide receiver department in order to extend this run that they've been on.
Good call.
Well, you guys have – go ahead.
No, go ahead, Gary.
Okay, you guys give a lot more credit to Belichick and a lot less credit to Tom Brady. And I don't have that – I think Tom Brady is the reason why the Patriots have been so damn good over the last 20 years. I'll give Belichick some of the credit. But, man, that guy's just made play after play.
And not only did he do that for the Patriots, but he took pay cuts and pay cuts to try to get the Patriots to get the people in the right places and pay them right. And if there's one thing that you can say about Tom, he was great at doing that. But a little bit of me thinks he's looking for a payday. And that's why I think he may not be a Patriot. He might be looking for that $35, $34 million paycheck from the NFL.
Wow.
Lord, no. I'm not giving him no $34 million at 43 years old.
Yeah,
he'll be 43 when they start the next season.
Yeah.
And I know this because his birthday is 2 days after mine. So,
that's a lot of money to pay him after the way he finished the season. But, you know, to Gary's point, yeah, you got to give Tom Brady a lot of credit. But, you know, I do believe that Belichick deserves a lot of the credit, too. And the reason why I say that is, you know, we saw a lot of small doses without Tom Brady that the Patriots still were successful. We saw the season where
Matt
torn ACL on Matt Castle, and they still won 11-5. We saw them the year when they were suspended, those four games, they went 3-1. And so we've seen them be successful. Even last year in the Super Bowl, Tom Brady was very average, but they got it done with the defense. They're shutting down that potent Rams offense and holding them to 3 points. A lot of that. So you've seen Belichick do a lot of great things. And you even saw it as a defensive coordinator with Bill Parcells, too. You can go back all the way back to the Buffalo Bills, the way they shut down that offense.
Yes,
and held it to 19 points in that Super Bowl. Had one of the greatest defensive schemes I've ever seen. They're going with just two rush linemen the entire game, and they slowed down the Bills' offense. And so I give a lot of that credit. Not to say Tom Brady doesn't deserve the two of them together have been magnificent. But I think whether he's back, whether Brady is there or not, I think Belichick will find a way to get that organization, even at 67 years old.
Find a way. All right, we got 6 minutes here, so we got to get through a lot of stuff here. So, Rob, is this the last ride for Drew Brees? I'm going to let you do that. I'll let you do your prediction, Clemson versus LSU. I kind of have an idea where that's going. And then we're going to probably save your mock drafts for next week because there's so much good stuff that we want to get into. I don't think we're having the time to cover that. Again, let's talk about that. And Carmelo hitting that shot, Gary Curtis, that was fantastic, too.
Okay.
So we got to fit a lot in this little small little segment, too. So knock that out. I'm just going to say really quickly, I didn't know who the hell Joe Judge was whenever the Giants hired him. I had to look at that figure out. That dude was like the freaking who was the wide receivers coach for the Patriots. Man, you talk about like, what? So we'll see.
And special teams coordinator.
Especially doing some crazy stuff. Oh, who's he? Defensive coordinator?
And special teams coordinator.
Yeah, I was kind of making it up. I know what he was, but I'm saying it's like no one knew who he was, man. Who was this dude?
Oh,
man? So,
my
anyway,
bad.
Yeah, no, but it's all good. But it's like, who's this guy? But anyway, go ahead with that. We got 5 minutes left, so go ahead with those last little things, Rob, and JQ62. Yeah, go ahead, Rob.
Yeah, in regards to Drew Brees, I think the thing that, you know, and Saints fans have, in my opinion, just been outrageous in the way they've been treating Drew Brees after his loss this past Sunday. And, yeah, he had a bad game. There's no question about it. He, you know, he forced the deep ball and double coverage, and he shouldn't have, and then not taking care of the football on that fumble. I mean, Drew Brees only had 4 turnovers. He played in 11 and a half games, and he had 27 touchdowns and 4 INTs. He was 5th in the NFL in touchdown passes and only played in 10 and a half games. And think about that. He only played in 10 and a half games, and he was 5th in the NFL in touchdown passes. So, yeah, he had a bad game. But the way Saints fans have been treating Drew Brees, to me, has just been flat-out ridiculous this past week. And until I see that become a pattern or a trend, if he had multiple turnovers every single week, I'm going to say he's not washed up.
Jameis Winston.
Right. And so, yeah, so, I mean, he was the NFL's defense. The NFL's offensive player of the month in December. And he had, prior to this past Sunday, he hadn't thrown an interception since week 12. So he just picked a bad time to have a bad game. And there obviously was a bad time to have a bad game. And to me, the way Saints fans are tripping right now about getting rid of the guy and, you know, and all this kind of stuff, I think that's ridiculous.
Yeah, that's ignorant. I don't know who says that. That's so dumb. He's not done. He had a bad game. That's what it is. He had a bad game. He tried to force a couple things, and he got hit from behind, and he fumbled on a really good drop that he probably would have scored on. But, yeah, you know, when you cheer him like that, when he gets all the, you know, touchdown record and all that, you just can't throw him out with the bat, whatever, one bad game. That's crazy.
And then you got to look at it, too. Teron Armstead and Ryan Ramczyk, the left tackle and right tackle for the Saints, those guys did not give up a sack all season, those two guys. They gave up 3 against the Vikings. So it was just a bad game. And I don't think he got the help he needed. I don't think he had a good game himself either, but I don't think he got the help he needed as well. So it was just, to me, I think it's just ridiculous. And, you know, my wife and I, she's one of those Saints fans, think it's time for him to go too. So we've had these conversations. Like, y'all saying that in November and December?
Wow.
Is that Nosh,
wow,
by the way? Is that Nosh?
Well, you know, special occasion, you got to bring out a special bottle, you know what I'm saying? And celebrate the demise of your enemy. Good evening.
Oh, man.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you, too, bro.
He's here.
Yeah, man,
so
y'all
can't
react like y'all better than us. Y'all the same as us. We are perennial losers who have flashes of brilliance. And y'all started getting a little uppity, thinking y'all was one of the blue bloods of the NFL. Guess what? Y'all us. Y'all just like us. I love it.
That's terrible.
I love it. Well, hey, Rob, go ahead and take the show up because we got 2 minutes left. Stay on the show, Nosh. Go ahead.
Ladies and gentlemen, we thank you all for tuning in to another Talking Sports with the 12th Man. We apologize for this nonsense caller that just called in right now talking about the Falcons. The Falcons are diddly poo. They're shit. They're horrible. So we apologize for this nonsense caller that called into the show talking about the Saints. Falcons 7-9. They've been 7-9. Seem like they've been every year. They diddly poo. So we apologize for the nonsense caller that just called in. But thank you all for tuning in to Talking Sports with the 12th Man. We're going to be back on Wednesday night next week. It's going to be 11 p.m. Eastern, 10 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. We thank you all for tuning in yet again. We still got more to talk about. Click on this same link, and tomorrow you'll get the rest of the OT portion. Good night, people.
Man, y'all are crazy. I can't enough to answer that. Fantastic.
Wow.
I'll keep it down there and call this show. I want to hear more of what's going on. Yeah, it's all you
squeeze, you squeeze all that in. You squeeze all that in and a diss on Atlanta. Wow, that's good.
Yeah, that's the fact that you're doing.
But see, but you know what's funny about this is because
So Robinson starts firing all these little shots. Now, again, Naj is, like, great, man. I love Naj because he has some good points. Now, he came in firing. But it's the truth. I mean, you know, I love the fact y'all on the couch with us, man, so we can talk all the crap you want. But y'all on the couch,
well,
too.
As long as we have one more Super Bowl champion in the Atlanta Falcons, y'all not on our level. That's the bottom line. As long as the Saints have one more Super Bowl title than Atlanta, y'all not on our level. Y'all beneath us.
That's true.
Wait a minute. That's what we've been saying to you forever, and you've been arguing that point.
Uh-oh.
Which is it, Rob?
Well, you know.
We've been saying to you for a long
true.
Time.
That's true. But all I say with the Cowboys is, you know, it's you got to watch it on VHS now. But, you know, the Cowboys have more Super Bowl titles than the Saints. Historically, there's no question Dallas has been a better organization than the Saints historically. There's no doubt about it.
I did want to say something, though, about Drew Brees. He's been nothing but a class act his entire career, and he's nowhere near being finished. He had a phenomenal season.
Yeah, and I was, you know, and I'm dogging out Saints fans for the way they treat them. And mm-hmm. I personally don't like it because, I mean, you basically just forgetting about what he's done for the organization. And none of you guys were saying this in November and December when he's racking up all these numbers. Well, not only does he do that, he does
look what he does for the community.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's a class act all the way around in his personal life and professional life.
Yeah.
But being a starting quarterback, ain't nothing stopping you from doing all that stuff for the community. You can go ahead and retire and do all that community stuff that you wanted to do, man. There's no country for old men, dog.
But
like,
I'm hearing,
we saw this.
But I'm here.
It's time
but
for
I'm
old
here,
guys
Nas.
To go.
Yeah, what I'm hearing, Nas, and what I'm hearing the fans talking about, and what I hate, because I think all of us are in the same boat, ageism. Just because you get old don't mean you need to be thrown in the garbage. Give us old guys a chance.
No, not
let
thrown
the
in the garbage.
Fall
just
off.
Moved into a position within the organization. You can run the scouts. You can talk to people, do inspiring speeches, all that kind of stuff, man. But you don't have to be on the roster.
Or you can throw for 5,000 yards and 40 TDs like you'll probably do next year.
Like I said, he led
the NFL in completion percentage again. He had 27 touchdown passes in 10 and a half games. He had 10 and a half games. Now, I agree, he can't throw the long ball like he used to. There's no question about that, but he's still very efficient with the football. He just wasn't very good this past Sunday.
Well, let's be honest about it, though. Typically in the NFL, they get off you right before you fall off the cliff. He's in the process of decline. We saw that with Phillip Rivers. We saw that with Brady. Like, we see that with people as they age. There's no shame in being one of the greatest quarterbacks to ever live and ending your career after, what, 18 seasons? Like, there's no shame in that. So I'm not knocking him. But, I mean, it's unrealistic to expect an older guy to keep the same arm strength as the season goes along. Like you said, early in the season, he looked like himself, but as the season got longer and longer, you started to see certain issues.
Who are you referring to, Brady or Breeze?
Both.
Okay. So here's the thing. I think here's the difference with Brady and Breeze this year. Brady, you saw it in the last eight games of the season. And that's why I think he's probably more ready to be closer to retiring. I think he's a year or two older than Breeze. I get him mixed up. I know he's at least a year.
Like 2 years older than Breeze.
Or maybe 2 years older than Breeze.
I think.
But the thing with Drew Brees is I haven't seen that on an every week standpoint. Like we were just talking about, prior to this past Sunday, he hadn't thrown the interception since week 12. And this is just not me tooting Drew Brees' horn. I'm just giving out the facts. And prior to this past Sunday's game, he was the offensive player of the month in December, where he was throwing 3 to 4 touchdown passes every single week. And no interceptions, no turnovers.
A 5-touchdown game against Carolina that kind of skews the stats. And then
he didn't even play the whole game against Carolina. So I'm not even talking about the Carolina game. He got pulled in that game.
That's in the stats, though. But again, if you're throwing the ball short and your talent is so good that you can beat people yards after the catch, that's fine. But what happens in a game where they can actually defend you in the short boundaries and you have to go down the field a little bit? We saw an uncharacteristic throw from him on that long ball, and then we saw, hell, hey, man, we got to run this trick play. Get Taysom in here. Like, yo, come on, man. That's to me, these are signs of decline.
Nas, did you watch the same game against the 49ers, the so-called best defense in the league?
Uh-huh.
Did you see Drew Brees eat that defense alive, even though the Saints lost that game? The Saints put up 48 points in that game.
He played well.
Yeah.
They came after him and ate him up short.
You just mentioned something that I saw in that Minnesota game. If I was Chicago, the two backup quarterbacks that the Saints have, I would throw Mitch in the garbage and try to get me one of them. I would even get that specialty quarterback they got. I see that guy even better than Mitch Trubisky. I'm looking at that, and I'm thinking, Mitch Trubisky, how is he a quarterback for the Chicago Bears?
Because the GM who drafted him, he's the one who's kind of signed on to him, so he's going to go down with the ship. So they're going to roll Mitch out there again, man, sadly. But yeah, anything is better. But
let me say,
I told y'all at the beginning of the season, I said that boy Teddy Bridgewater is a damn vulture trying to take that old man's job. There's a reason he didn't go to Miami. He's been waiting on that old man to fall off.
I tell you what, he got to worry about Taysom Hill, because they're gonna give Taysom Hill a really good look. He comes in and provides a whole different spot to that offense. Now, I can't say he's going to do that for every quarter and every game, because he's coming in especially two spots and, you know, being able to jumpstart the team in that manner. But they have a different kind of feel about them when he's playing quarterback. I don't know if Teddy could overlook that dude to say, I'm the heir to the throne. I just can't say I can say that.
But here's the thing about Taysom Hill.
And you make a Taysom package for about 20 plays a game. I don't think Teddy would have a problem.
Here's the thing about Taysom Hill, which you're seeing small doses of him at the quarterback position as far as throwing the football. We don't know. I'm not convinced yet that he could be an efficient quarterback. Even if he can throw the ball further, I'm still not convinced that he can be an efficient quarterback making the right decisions with the football play after play after play after play.
He's a better
kid. I think he'd do a lot better job than that Mr. Trubisky in Chicago. I see that.
Curtis must have a thing for Mr. Trubisky. I love that you're bringing him up.
And don't get me wrong, I love Taysom Hill. I mean, the Saints play him everywhere.
Right.
He plays linebacker too. Hey, for the East Coast, we're going to wrap this thing up here, but I do want to get everyone's thoughts here. We got the college football coming up, Clemson versus LSU. Go Tigers! No, it's my little joke, but
yes, absolutely.
We'll see.
Make sure to add the LSU portion to it.
let's make sure. I think that this is going to be a really well played game. I do think LSU is going to pull this off. But we're going to go around the room, get your last thoughts, and then I'll let you guys have whatever you want to talk about from the topic list, and then we will wrap up the show, too. So I'll let you start off, Rob, being the resident LSU fan, if you will. And I have an idea where this is going, but go ahead, man.
Yeah, well, I'm hoping the LSU don't disappoint us like the Saints did this past Sunday. But I'm still going to pick the LSU in this one. And as I said last week, go LSU Tigers. I just think right now LSU just got everything clicking on offense right now. Trevor Lawrence and Brent Venables does present some concerns on what they can do from a game plan standpoint. But I just think we've seen week after week the LSU just put up big numbers on just about everybody they played. The only team that was able to slow them down a little bit was Auburn. And if you really look and do a deep dive into that game tape against Auburn, LSU left a lot of points on that field, and as long as they don't make shoot themselves in the foot, I think they can put up at least 42 points on Clemson on Monday night. And I'm not convinced that Clemson could do the same against LSU, but I think it's going to be like a 42-28 kind of game with LSU winning.
Gosh. So JQ's not watching the game because of his Nope. You know what happened earlier, but he should be watching his future quarterback for the Bengals. Go ahead, Naj. What your thoughts about this man?
But JQ, you're not gonna watch Nat Sham. You just watched Miami, Ohio against Louisiana the other night, man. Come on.
I'm abstaining. I'm holding my vote and my prediction. I'm abstaining. I don't care. I'm not watching.
You watched
my damn
Tulane
game.
Against who did Tulane play? Southern Miss on Saturday at 11:30 in the morning.
I might play Wii Bowling instead, okay? I'm not watching that game. I don't. I'm just not interested. You guys can keep talking about it. You guys making predictions. I'm just a fly on the wall right now. I don't care.
How you gonna be a sports talk analyst? Don't watch the game, man.
I'm gonna read the recap. Hey. And look at the stat line and see what happens.
My team just lost. I'm gonna watch the Vikings against the 49ers.
You are a better man than I am, and I will admit to it because I ain't watching the damn game.
It's gonna hurt watching it, but I'm gonna watch it.
JQ still in his feelings. JQ, what you got, Nash?
In his defense, Clemson should not be there. So I do agree with his sentiment there. We've seen some funny stuff go on in that game. I'll leave it at that. But LSU Clemson. I hate to do this, but the only reason I want LSU to win is because those same blue blood people who look down on Coach O because of the way that he speaks and the culture that he comes from, those same people who are trying to run him out of town and give all the money to that boy down in Texas and everything else are going to have to come around and kiss the ring. If that dude wins the chip, he's going to be bona fide, untouchable in Louisiana for a while. And I hope that happens, man. Just so those people have to eat crow, man. So, yeah, I do want them to win, unfortunately.
Nice.
That's not an unfortunate thing.
I hear you. I hear you, though, on that. Yeah, you're absolutely right, and that's why he didn't get the USC job full time either. So you're 100% right.
USC should have hired Ed Orgeron. I said that on the show last week, and they made big mistake by passing on him, and that was the main thing, too. That was the main thing. They just didn't see him as a head coach figure. Just from the way he speaks, and obviously, you know, he's a Cajun, so he kind of fits in Louisiana. And but even some LSU fans initially had some questions on Ed Orgeron.
Mm-hmm. You being one of them.
Well, he's proven him wrong, and next week he's going to be able to say, well, at least I took LSU to the championship game. I'm going with Clemson.
Mm-mm.
What I'm happy about, going to be locked into football on Saturday, going to be locked into football on Sunday, and going to be locked into football on Monday. A 3-day football holiday. Oh, my God. How fun.
Beautiful. Beautiful.
The Giants have done this 2 years in a row. Who the hell is Daniel Jones? And then who the hell is this? Where do they find these people?
Yeah.
What are they doing in Giant Land?
That's
be careful. They might be hiring Jason Garrett as offensive coordinator to come back to haunt y'all.
if you don't
that's what they're looking at.
It can't hurt.
Rob's got problems. Oh, man. JQ, before we wrap up the show, I'll let you have your pick of the topics, JQ. You can talk about anything, and then let's wrap this up, man. What another great edition talk for the 12th man. Go ahead, man.
Well, I'm just going to do for me because we didn't get to the fancy shout-outs. I'm pretty sure I had the biggest win of the week with an 8-1 victory here this week.
You did.
I ain't got
to give yourself a shout-out.
Yeah, man, I'm giving myself a shout-out. Ain't nobody else going to do it. So that's all I got, man. Y'all always talking about college football. I've never college football. So it's all good. My team sucks. And I already know they're taking Joe Burrow anyway. So, you know, once he put 8 touchdowns in Oklahoma, that was a done deal. I was like, okay, I'm going to get that Burrow white, that white color rush jersey ready because he's coming to Cincinnati. So that's all I got.
And you know, JQ, you know, I know we're going to talk about the draft later, and I sent you guys emails of my mock draft first and second round. And, you know, there was one point where I was kind of on the same page with you to take Chase Young and see if you can trade back in to get a quarterback in the second round. But I think if the Cincinnati Bengals are smart, when you look at Joe Burrow, the reason, one of the main reasons I think he should be the number one pick, I think he's got the leadership personality to change the culture of an organization. And I think that's the biggest, one of his biggest strengths along with his play. I think the way he can get the rest of his team to buy into a culture, I think is going to be really big for the Cincinnati Bengals. And I think that would be, it would be a mistake to pass him up even with a number one pick. But I think, you know, 4 or 5 weeks ago, or maybe 6, 7 weeks ago, I was on the same page. You take Chase Young, go with that defensive end, and then go ahead and trade back in to get a quarterback. But I think you'll be missing out on a true leader if you do that.
Look, hey, that boy's from Southeast Ohio. Wait a minute. That boy's from Southeast Ohio and raised like $10,000 to $20,000 or something, probably a little bit more, for the food bank back in Athens, Ohio. When he did all that and he had an 8 touchdowns, I said, you know, I hear what you're saying. You can see it from the X's and O's. Like, I get what you're saying. I honestly do. But once he did that, I was like, it's over. They got a dude that grew up as a Bengals fan from Southeast Ohio that just won the Heisman, and they could take him in number one overall, and he might win the championship. Oh, God. Yeah, he's going to Cincinnati with a bullet just to sell tickets.
Yeah.
Hey,
he's a guy that can change the culture, too.
Mike Brown sells the pick. I said the only way I'm
right.
The cheap-ass Mike Brown sells the pick.
You can get Jake Fromm, Jake Hughes. You can get Chase Young first, Jake Fromm second.
Listen, I would get a Jake Fromm jersey just to take outside and burn if they do that. I would spend $80 just to set it on fire in 3 minutes. I absolutely would do that. That would be so ignorant that I would have no other choice but to spend $80 on kindling to set it on fire. They better not do that. I understand we got a cheap owner, but I hope you don't do no foolishness like that, because I would be so high you might just have to kick you off the show during NFL talk.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm doing that. Y'all go ahead. I don't want to take up the time.
Woo! Last thing to say, Curtis, Gary, before we wrap this thing up.
Good shot by Carmelo the other night. He's eighth in the All-Star voting.
Nice.
Huge
Curtis,
shot.
You got anything?
Well, the Blazers, you know, they are – I've heard talk today – they're going to try to make moves for Whiteside and Bazemore. They're hoping Nurk gets back pretty quickly. And what they don't want to do, they don't want to go in the playoffs eight and meet the L.A. Lakers. They absolutely do not want to do that. I'm going to bring up, okay, I got one question for Rob. Where's Herbert going?
Right now, I'm going number 6 of the Chargers. You know, it's about time to start looking at replacing Phillip Rivers. Right now, I have him going number 6 to the Chargers.
That's a good pick.
And I didn't look this up, but I heard this today, and I'm kind of curious. I think – is it 28 teams or 32 teams in the NFL?
32
teams. We got 3 black coaches in the NFL in a league that is almost 70% black. I thought the NFL was addressing that, and it looks like they're not.
And that's an issue.
Yeah, he took it there. He took it there. Yeah,
he's right.
That's a stat.
One quick thing, honest, to piggyback on that. Now that you have it, I was watching an outtake from Speak Out with Marcel Wiley and that other fool, and he had Harrison on from Pittsburgh. He said when they instituted the ruling rule back then, they only had 3 black head coaches. The same. It was Herm Edwards, Tony Dungy, one other person. And now you fast forward almost 18 years later, and there's only still 3.
Hmm.
Well, the difficulty of that is the NFL did its job. It implemented a rule. The problem is ownership not treating the rule in good faith, working around the rule, making phone calls to just satisfy the rule, and then hiring who they want to hire anyway. So no matter what, it falls at ownership's feet. I mean, this is one thing where I won't bang Goodell on. Put the rule in place. If you follow the parameters of the rule, then we would have more people in the pool, and we'd have diversity in coaching, which could possibly improve things. But when you have a industry where the turnover rate is as high as it is, there's really no justification in not bringing in new people to be hired. Like, it makes no sense. But typically racism doesn't.
Look at that. Nice shout out. Whew. Yeah, good job, Curtis, bringing that there. Because, again, you know, we thought about that too going into the show, and it's just like, you know, you're going to turn a blind eye to it. But and I was making a joke about Marvin Lewis, but you knew he didn't have a shot to get that position. And you keep talking about Lincoln Riley. Who's the next young guy that you had? You had opportunity with your man that got fired after 1 year for the Cardinals to bring in freaking losing my name. Yeah, Wilkes got fired, and it's like crazy, man. And then it's very frustrating to have somebody that has a if you need to have a creative mind, you know, that's why I hope Lamar Jackson wins the Super Bowl, because I hope he'll change that stereotype. But again, it's frustrating all around, man, to not have more better representation. We're not just talking about coaching, we're talking about GMs, everything to kind of go from the organization too. It just something has to be done to bring that up too. So
it ain't gonna change. Doug Williams won the Super Bowl.
I know it's not.
Doug Williams won the Super Bowl.
But he was different though in that instance of the playing versus Lamar Jackson. But the same thing. Skin color is the same. But I'm with you on that. But that's definitely a serious topic, at least, man. You know.
I'll never forget the dumbest question ever asked at a Super Bowl media day was, they asked Doug Williams, "How long have you been a black quarterback?"
Oh my God. That's great. We're gonna wrap this up. I do want to give a quick shout out to what's happened. I know even the freaking Hawks lost, Trey Young and James Harden put on the show. I think the first two guys have like 40 points.
42 and 41, right?
Yeah, 42. That was crazy. Yeah, they were able to pull it off, even though the Hawks were not able to pull it off. And Trae Young's doing his thing. I'm glad he's getting some recognition as one of the leading vote getters for the All Star game as well, too, man. That's good.
Hey,
Luka Doncic is killing it. Yeah, I know.
Thank
but
you.
It's, you know, I'm going to still show love, bring balance to the force. I know you're going to always bring it up, but, you know, it's fair.
I'm sorry.
So. That's what you
said. Yeah. Trae Young, 42 tonight. James Harden, 41. I'm actually watching the re-air of that game right now.
Yeah.
They both had triple-doubles, didn't they? They had 40-point triple-doubles.
Yeah, they had triple-doubles.
Yeah.
They had triple-doubles. First, I think that's the first in history. 40 points, something like, yeah, which is crazy.
Yeah.
But anyway, go ahead, Rob, end the show, man, as always, man.
Ladies and gentlemen, we thank you all again for tuning in to another great edition. We're talking sports for the 12th man. We're going to be back on the air on Wednesday night next week. It's going to be 11 p.m. Eastern, 10 p.m. Central, and 8 p.m. Pacific. We certainly appreciate you all tuning in. Please write us. Let us know what you think of the show. Give us some feedback. And once again, we'll be back on the air on next Wednesday night. Good night, people.
Yeah, absolutely, man. You got to call him more often, Nas. You are always the grenade and the spark plug that gets me going. You are a fool. I appreciate everybody for listening to the show on Dallas. And Dallas, on the way.
You know,
it's a very good
man.
Show. And we'll holler at y'all next week.
Good night,
Nas is great. He's always great to call him, Nas, because I said I'm going to sit back and eat my popcorn because I just love I love it, man. So, again, when I see that number pop up, but this is Nas, I gotta show some love too, man. But again,
y'all know how it is, man. I got to get all the overtime in to cover these bets. But whenever I can, I'm definitely calling you guys, man. I rock with y'all.
You do, bro. You call whenever you're ready. You call whenever you're ready, bro. We got you, man. So, again, gentlemen, have a great week, man. Look forward to the game. Look forward to the game on Monday. Yeah, it's crazy. Hey, Curtis, Gary, appreciate you guys, man, as well. Keep those points coming, and maybe we'll talk more about that topic next week too, man, because it's just that's good stuff, man. But, again, looking forward to a great 3 days of football, man. Have a great week, guys. Talk to you later.
Good night, people.
Absolutely. Y'all have a good one.
Good night.